The name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. And time really flies very, very quickly. We are past the midpoint of the month of August, and then very soon the end of the year will be here. What have we done for the Lord? And as each day passes, let us remember that we are one day nearer to the soon return of our Lord. And very soon, we will hear the midnight cry, and the bridegroom will be here. The question for all of us is, will we be ready to meet our Savior when He comes? What have we to present before the Lord when He comes? What kind of account of ourselves will we be giving to Him? Friends, these are very, very vital questions that we need to answer. Yes, I sound as if I'm nagging because practically every Sunday I bring this up. But it is something that is very, very important. We must address this every day. Now, the subject this morning is put on the girdle of truth. We have been talking about the armor of God. And the last Lord's Day, I spoke on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this morning, I'm going to talk about the girdle of truth. Now, in a message on the breastplate of righteousness, we ask this question, what is righteousness? Now, righteousness is being right with God. Now, it is God who credits us with this righteousness. He puts His righteousness into our account, even the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, in turn, puts our sins into the account of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't earn righteousness. God imputes it to us. He credits it to us. And then we, by faith, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have we put on the breastplate of righteousness? Friends, it's vital that we put on this breastplate of righteousness. Now, because when we have put on the breastplate of righteousness, then we will stand righteous in the sight of the one true living God. We will not only be pardoned of our sins, we will not only be forgiven of our sins, but God declares us to be righteous, righteous in His sight. Satan, of course, is not pleased. He very, very persistently try to bring his charges against us and to accuse us of being sinners, condemned, lost for eternity. But each time he brings his accusation against us, God looks at us, and what does He see? He sees only the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He declares us righteous. How wonderful it is to be declared righteous because we have the breastplate of righteousness of God on us. Now, this morning, I'd like to move on to the next part of the armor of God. Now, we must put on this armor of God because our enemy is a mighty spiritual enemy, even our adversary, Satan. We need this armor of God to have a mighty defense against him. And this morning we want to talk about the girdle of truth. Now, what is truth? What is truth? Now, throughout the ages, man has been going after truth, seeking after truth. Now, why does man do that? Now, man does that because man was created in the image of God. Man is a spiritual creature. Yes, he's a spiritual being. And being a spiritual being created in the image of God, he has in him this innate desire, the inborn desire to want to worship something. So you go anywhere to the most remote jungles, the most remote deserts, wherever you find man, you'll find man worshipping something. He will have to worship something. Now, but because of the fallen nature of man, because of his corrupt nature, man is not able to find truth, real truth, that will save him from his sin, except that God would reveal this truth to him. God must reveal this truth to him so that he may be saved. So what is truth? On the night the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, and when he was brought before Pontius Pilate, Pilate, the Roman governor, asked this question, what is truth? What is truth? Maybe he wasn't sincere about asking that question. He just asked, what is truth? But my dear friends, if Pilate was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he needed not to ask that question because truth was standing right in front of him. Because Jesus is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says this of himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ says. So, friends, do we know what truth is? Now, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know the truth because Jesus is truth. Yes, we don't have to go to Tibet or go to some very, very secluded places to meditate, to try to find out what truth is. We don't have to do that because we have truth in our hearts. Some years ago, Eastern religions were quite popular in the 80s, in the 70s, 80s, and I think maybe the 90s also. Eastern religions were very popular because Westerners were very disillusioned by the deadness, by the dryness, by the formalism of Christianity. And so they thought that they could find truth in Eastern religions, and so many people flocked to the East to find truth in Eastern religions, particularly this religion known as New Age thinking. Of course, the adherents of the New Age thinking would deny that the New Age thinking is a religion. Yeah, but in truth, it is a religion because the New Age thinking, in fact, is ancient Hinduism in modern form. Essentially, what it teaches is that God is in everything. God is in the rocks, God is in the trees, God is in everything, God is in you. Now, if you meditate hard enough, long enough, you will be able to bring out this divinity in you. And this teaching says that you are very, very powerful because God is in you. You can do anything. God is in you. But friends, truth is not found in New Age thinking. Truth is not found in meditation, whether the meditation be Western meditation or Eastern meditation. Truth is found in Jesus Christ because Jesus is truth. The question for all of us is, do we have Jesus, the truth, in us? If we have him in us, we have the truth. Then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, before he was arrested, prayed this prayer to the Heavenly Father. He prayed this prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17. Father, sanctify them through thy truth. He was praying for his disciples. He was praying for his followers. Sanctify them through thy truth. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So what is truth? The living word, Jesus, is truth. And his written word, the word of God, is also truth. So you ask, what is truth? Jesus is truth. His written word is also truth. Now, in the context here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, gird yourself with the truth. Gird yourself with the truth. Now, girding ourselves with the truth means girding ourselves with the truth of the word of God. That's what it means. Girding ourselves with the word, with the written word of truth. Now, girding ourselves with truth also means being sincere, being true in what we believe in regards to the Word of God. Now, this morning, under this heading of girding ourselves with the truth, I'd like to cover three things. Number one, girding ourselves firmly. Girding ourselves firmly. And number two, girding ourselves with the perfect girdle. And number three, girding ourselves with the perfect girdle, the need of which we cannot ignore. So three things that we want to talk about this morning. Now, first of all, let us consider girding ourselves firmly with the girdle of truth. Girding ourselves firmly with the girdle of truth. Now, the girdle is the ancient equivalent of our modern belt. All right? In olden times, you wear a girdle, but today we wear a belt. And you know how important a belt is in holding up our pants. Yes, it is very, very important that we have a very good girdle, a very good belt. The Apostle Paul saw, of course, the armor of the Roman soldier at close distance, because remember, he wrote this letter from prison in Rome, and then he was guarded by Roman soldiers, and it was perhaps true that he was chained to a Roman soldier, and so he had many opportunities to have close-up looks at the armor of the Roman soldier, and he must have seen how important the various parts of the armor was, and particularly in this instance, how important the girdle was to the Roman soldier. A loose girdle would be of no use. In fact, a loose girdle for a Roman soldier would be an impediment. You see, the Roman soldier, when he went out to fight, of course, he had to use his two arms. With one arm, he would hold up his shield, and the other hand, he would hold his sword. Now, can you imagine that imagine a situation in which his girdle was loose? Then he would have no choice but to use one hand to hold his coat of mail together, and then with the other arm, perhaps hold his shield or hold his sword. He would then be in a very, very vulnerable position. Now, can you imagine the modern, the desperate situation the modern soldier is in? If his belt is loose, yes, his pants can drop off if his belt is loose. Now, how is he going to charge forward against the enemies if he has got very, very loose belt? Or how is he going to retreat effectively if his belt is loose? My dear friends, he would be in a very, very dangerous position. In next to no time, he could be a dead duck. So friends, it is absolutely necessary that we put on this girdle of truth and put on it very, very firmly on us. Yes, it must be firm and not loose. And in what ways could our girdle of truth be loosened? In what ways? Now, I can think of two ways by which this girdle of truth may be loosened. Number one, it is through unbelief. Unbelief in the one true living God, unbelief in his word. And number two, through compromise of our belief in the truth. Yes, so number one, let's first consider our unbelief and see how it loosens this girdle of truth. Let's go back to the situation in the Garden of Eden. God had told our parents with these words. Yes, he told our parents with this. He said this to our parents. Yes, that they must not partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day they partook of that fruit, they would surely die. Now, these were the words of the one true living God to our first parents. Now, then Satan came along and tempted them and told them that what God said was not true, but that if they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would not die, but they would be as gods. They would be like the one true living God himself, because there were no other gods. In those days, there was only one God, so obviously the gods here must be referring to God himself. They would be like God himself. Now, what was the implication of this temptation? The implication was this. God was a liar. God was not telling our first parents the truth. So our first parents, filled with unbelief in the absolute truth, which is, of course, God's word, they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As it were, they loosened their girdle of truth by their unbelief. They loosened their girdle of truth by their unbelief. And then their unbelief led them to disobey God and to rebel against the one true living God. Yes, they fell. They fell, and then they sinned. They brought death upon themselves, and then death upon their descendants. Now, let us consider another situation in God's word in which unbelief in God's word loosened the girdle of truth and led to disobedience and led to condemnation by the one true living God. We're talking about unbelief loosening the girdle of truth. Yes, let's look at the children of Israel. The children of Israel had left the land of Egypt, And perhaps they had left the land of Egypt now for maybe more than a year or so. And then they came to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And from Kadesh Barnea, they wanted Moses to send out 12 spies to scout the promised land. So Moses said, all right, if you wanted to do that, then let's do it. And so they did it. They sent 12 spies out to scout the promised land. They were out there for 40 days. And all of them came back with one piece of good news. And that common piece of good news was that the land was indeed flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of them also, apart from that news, brought back bad news. They said that the land was not conquerable because the land was occupied by giants known as Anakim. Yes, the land was not conquerable, occupied by Anakim. And then they saw the land with eyes of unbelief. They did not believe in the word of God, that God was able to enable them to conquer that land, that God was faithful and able to enable them to conquer that land. They were filled with unbelief in God's word. God had told them, I have given this you this land, go in and possess it. But they were filled with unbelief. Only Joshua and Caleb saw the land with eyes of belief. Belief in the word of the one true living God. They say that we are well able to conquer this land. God has given us this land, we must go in and possess the land. But the other Israelites, the whole of the Israelite camp, did not believe in the words of Joshua and Caleb. They believed in the words of these 10 spies. They were filled with unbelief in the words of the one true living God. And so they murmured and they rebelled against Moses. You see that what unbelief does? Yes, it caused them to murmur, caused them to be filled with unbelief, and they rebelled against Moses, which in fact meant that they were rebelling against the one true living God. And they wanted to appoint for themselves a captain to lead them back to the land of Egypt. So we see once again unbelief in God's word loosening the girdle of truth, which resulted in disobedience and rebellion on the part of the children of Israel. God's command was clear, as we said. His word was very, very clear. I've given you this land. Go in, conquer this land. But they did not believe this truth, that God was both able and faithful to enable them to conquer that land. And so, they provoked God to anger. And God had to punish them. And God condemned them to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years. And all the adults who were 20 years and above when they came out of the land of Egypt died in the wilderness wandering. They lost the privilege of entering into the promised land. God had wanted to bless them. Go in, possess the land. But they missed out on that blessing because of their unbelief. They had loosened their girdle of truth. And so they missed out on that blessing. Now the question is, what land has God promised us? What land has He promised us? What spiritual blessings does He have in store for us? Now perhaps the Lord wants us to teach a Sunday school class. Yes, but we were filled with unbelief. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some of us have been called to teach a Sunday school class, but we don't think that we are able to teach. Yes, we didn't think that, or we do not think that God is able and faithful to enable us to teach. And so, with our unbelief, we couldn't loosen our girdle of truth. We did not put our hand and say, Lord, I'm willing to go in. We dare not move. We stay inert. We stay and we lose out on the blessing of teaching the Sunday school class to lead young souls to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or He might want us to give the gospel to our loved ones, to our friends, yes, to our colleagues. But we didn't think or didn't believe that the gospel that we believe in is powerful enough to move them to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And with this unbelief, of course, we loosen the girdle of truth. We stay inert. We don't do anything about it. And we miss out on the blessings of leading people to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or He might want us to engage in some missions work. You know, every time we are confronted with the challenge of missions, you know, the first thoughts that come to our mind are this. You know what are they? Where are the people that should be going? Where are the people? And the next question that we ask is, where is the money? You know, two things we ask. Where are the people? Where are the money? My dear friends, we are so filled with unbelief. We do not believe that this God of ours is both able and faithful. And so what do? Year after year, we remain static, we remain inert, we do not, we loosen our girdle of truth, and we do not dare to step up in faith to say, Lord, we'll go. Yes, you tell us to go, we'll go. And as a result of that, my dear friends, we do not step up in faith, we lose out in the blessings which the Lord has in store for us. Now, so you see how we need to gird ourselves firmly, as firmly, and not allow the girdle of truth to be loosened. We must gird ourselves firmly and not allow it to be loosened by unbelief. Now, dear friends, some of us here might not even have the girdle of truth on, let alone having a loose girdle. We've been talking about a loose girdle, but some of us here might not even have a girdle on. In other words, you are not a believer at all. As week after week, you might have been coming, and you hear the gospel of truth given to you week after week. Yes, you know of this truth that Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary, or died for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary. You heard that you must repent from your sins, and you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in order that you may have everlasting life. And then you also have heard of the truth that if you do not repent for your sins, when you pass away, you're heading for eternal hell. And you have heard of the truth that you are condemned already. The fact that you are not a believer means that you are condemned already. You know all this, but yet you reject the truth. And because you reject the truth, my dear friends, you do not have the girdle of truth on you. And if you do not have this girdle of truth on you, my dear friends, you're lost. You do not have spiritual life in you. If you pass away from this earth, my dear friends, you head definitely for eternal hell. And you are going there by your choice, because the truth has been offered to you, but you refuse to accept the truth. Now, we can also loosen our girdle of truth through compromising our belief in the one true living God. Compromising our belief in the one true living God will loosen our girdle of truth. Now, consider the children of Israel again. They must gird themselves with this truth. And what was the truth that they must gird themselves with? And that is this. The truth is this. God had told them, not only on one occasion, but on several occasions, God told them in no uncertain terms, be ye holy because I am holy. God told them very, very clearly, I am the holy God. You are my people. You therefore must be holy. That was the truth that they knew, and that this was the girdle they must definitely be putting on. And then before they entered into the promised land, God made this very, very clear to them. When you enter into the land, make sure that you and your children do not enter into intermarriages with the Canaanites. That was the instruction that was specifically given. But they went into the promised land, they compromised their belief in the one true living God, compromised their belief in what God said. And they got involved in intermarriages. Yes, they married strangers. They married the occupants of the land, the Canaanites. And as a result of these intermarriages, they were drawn away from the one true living God to embrace the idols and the gods of the Canaanites. So you see, through the compromising of their belief in the one true living God, they had actually loosened their girdle of truth. They failed to be holy. Yes, they must be holy. God told them, you must be holy because I'm holy. They failed to be holy. And over time, they actually forsook the one true living God and went after other gods. And what was the consequence? Their unbelief loosened their girdle of truth. Their unbelief caused God to allow them to be punished. And God allowed them to be punished. They were taken away into captivity, first of all by the Assyrians, and then subsequently by the Babylonians. So it's serious, my dear friends, compromising our belief would result in the loosening of our girdle. And my dear friends, if our girdle is loosened, you can be sure that God is not pleased. And if he's not pleased, if his wrath ever comes upon us, my dear friends, the punishment can be very severe. So friends, you see how needful it is that we not compromise our belief, but to continue to uphold the name of the one true living God. The word of God is very, very clear. God's word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 says it very clearly. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Is this not clear enough? Clear or not clear? Absolutely clear. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? It's very, very clear. God makes this truth very, very clear to all of us. So what kinds of relationships are compromising our belief today? Could there be a girl-boy relationship that is compromising our belief? Is your girlfriend a believer? Is your boyfriend a believer? If he's not a believer, my dear friends, if you enter into that relationship, you are compromising your belief in the one true living God. You're compromising his truth. Then what about our business relationship? Is your business partner a believer or is he not a believer? If you enter into a business relationship with an unbeliever, you are compromising your belief in the one true living God. Now, I was very impressed by the testimony of this brother. He was retrenched from his job, and then for quite some time he was without a job. But he was because of his professional expertise, there was this very wealthy man who was a big businessman who owned a business, who wanted to who made him a very, very tantalizing offer, because this businessman was in the same industry that this brother used to be working in. And he made him a very tantalizing offer. I think it was a partnership that he offered him. Now, this wealthy businessman saw great potential in this young man. He liked this brother very, very much. He didn't have any children. So there was no successor for his business. And he was hopeful that he could pass his business to this brother. But there was only one problem. And that was this businessman was not a believer. And he actually manifestly showed that he was not a believer because he had a huge idol in his office. So what did this brother do? Loosen his girdle of truth? No, he was not about to compromise. He wanted to maintain a clear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not going to compromise his belief, and so he rejected the offer. He wanted to make sure that his girdle of truth was firmly on his body. Yes. And of course, all his friends and his business associates in the industry said that he was very dumb, you know, to have rejected such an attractive offer. Of course, he would appear dumb and foolish in the eyes of men, but not in the eyes of the one true living God. In the eyes of the one true living God, he was indeed a very, very wise man, one who was willing to hold on to his truth, hold on to the truth, and make sure that his girdle of truth was firmly on his body. He was not willing to compromise his belief in the one true living God. Now, we could be girding ourselves tightly, right? Important that we must gird ourselves very, very tightly. But what if the girdle that we make use of is not a perfectly good girdle? What if it's not a perfectly good girdle? Now that brings me to the next part of my message, which is to gird ourselves with a girdle, perfect girdle of truth. It must be a perfect girdle. One time while walking fast, I felt my pants were getting loose around my waist. Now what actually had happened was that my belt had become loose. Yes, it was a defective belt. Now what had happened was that the buckle had detached itself from the rest of the belt. And you know the buckle is screwed on to the belt, right? Some belts are made that way. But I lost that screw. I didn't realize I had lost that screw. So my pants around the waist were becoming quite loose. And so you can imagine what happened. I felt very, very uncomfortable walking with that pair of pants on me because I had a very loose belt. Now, my dear friends, our spiritual girdle must be of absolutely good quality and not bad quality like the belt that I had on me. It must be the gospel of truth. Yes, but what kind of gospel are we believing in today? What kind of, we have to put on this girdle of truth, the girdle of the true gospel, the gospel that is based on the word of God. But what kind of girdle do we have on us today? Is it a pure, good old gospel, or is it one that is distorted? The great apostle Paul tells us that there is no such a thing as another gospel. No such a thing, because there is only one gospel, so there is no such a thing as another gospel. It is either the good old gospel or no gospel at all. Now, if anybody says that there is another gospel, it is a distorted gospel. It is a gospel of very, very poor quality, like the kind of belt that I had on. My dear friends, it is a useless girdle. Yes, not only is it useless, my dear friends, if it's another gospel, it is not only useless, but it is harmful, because it is this kind of gospel that leads men and women to hell. Now, what kind of distortions of the gospel of truth are we talking about? What kind of distortions? Now, today in many so-called evangelical churches, I'm talking about evangelical churches, so-called evangelical churches, there is this number one deviation from the truth. Now, these churches, as I said many times before, do not focus on the sinfulness of man. These churches do not focus on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the redemption of the redemption of man from their sins. These churches do not focus on the need to talk about repentance. They do not focus on the need to talk about the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is their focus? Their focus is on feeling good. Their focus is on wellness. Their focus is on the material prosperity. Their focus is on health and wealth. Of course, you know I'm talking about the health and wealth gospel. Friends, such teaching is a real corruption of the truth. Now, this corruption is very appealing. It's a corruption, but it's very appealing, because who doesn't want to feel good? Now, who doesn't want to feel good, and who doesn't want to be healthy, and who doesn't want to be wealthy? Of course, all of us want to feel that way, feel good, feel, and then be healthy and be wealthy. All of us like that. But my dear friends, if you dilute the gospel by de-emphasizing salvation from sin, then, you know, all the blood sacrifices, you know how much the Word of God talks about blood sacrifices? All the blood sacrifices in the Old Testament would then mean nothing. And you know, all these blood sacrifices in the Old Testament are all pointing to one sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice of God's own Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. All of them are pointing to that sacrifice of the Lord. Then all these sacrifices would mean nothing if you de-emphasize salvation from sin. Yes? Now, if you don't emphasize the personal salvation from sin, you actually throw out the absolute necessity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. Then you say there's no need for him to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes? If you de-emphasize the personal salvation from sin. Friends, the prosperity gospel has indeed corrupted the truth. If you put on this girdle, the girdle of corrupted truth, you might go around with a false sense of security. You might think that you are safe. Yes, when in actual fact you might not be, because that security you have is a false one, because you are believing in a gospel that is not true. You think you are safe, but you might not be. Then if you de-emphasize the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the result is you take away the blessed hope of our looking for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You take away the hope of our being like him when he returns. And then if you take away this hope of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you would also at the same time remove the need for holy living. You need remove the need for blameless living, Because the word of God says we are to be blameless and spotless when he returns. So if you de-emphasize the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will say there is no need for holy living, there is no need to be spotless when he returns. So you remove that kind of godly conduct from your thinking. Then if that be the case, my dear friends, our concern of course will be very, very temporal. Our focus will be on health and wealth and not on things that count for eternity. Now, friends, we need to put on this girdle of truth. Yes, we need to put on this girdle of truth. We need to put on this girdle of truth so that we may have salvation, of course, number one. Now, we need to put on this girdle of truth because we need it to worship God in the prescribed way, in the way that God prescribes for us. We need to put on this girdle of truth so that we may be able to worship him in the manner in which he wants us to worship him in. And the word of God says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what kind of worship pleases the Lord? It is the worship that is in spirit and in truth. It is not the outward form that is important. It is not the rituals. It is not the ceremonies that are important. But what is important is that our worship be spiritual. It must be a spiritual worship. And for our worship to be something that is spiritual, it must be a worship that is guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit. And how does God guide us how does the Holy Spirit guide us in the worship of the one true living God? Of course, he guides us through his word, through his word. And through his word, if we worship the one true living God, guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit, we must necessarily be worshiping him, guided by his word. Then our worship of the one true living God must be in truth. In other words, we must worship God sincerely. Yes, and since the sincerity that we are talking about must be the right kind of sincerity. And how can our sincerity be the right kind? Our sincerity can only be the right kind if it is the kind that is based on the word of God. Now you look at devotees of other religions, they can be very, very sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. But so friends, our sincerity must be based on the word of God. So we need to be girded with truth in our worship of the one true living God, so that our worship of the one true living God may be accepted by him. Now we also need to gird ourselves with the girdle of truth in our relationship with one another. Yes, we must be girded with the girdle of truth in our relationship with one another. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, if we claim to have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must necessarily be speaking truth with one another. Isn't it true? You say we have the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ in you, I have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, then I must be speaking truth with you and you must be speaking truth with me. We must speak truth to one another so that we may be able to build one another up in the most holy faith, particularly as we see the day of the Lord fast approaching. We must be very sincere in dealing with one another, in our fellowship with one another. Now, if we are truthful in speaking to one another, will we not also be showing love to one another? We would. It's quite natural. My dear friends, if we were to speak truth to one another, we would naturally be speaking to one another with love. So truth and love would usually go together. Now we see in many churches where people seem to be very friendly with one another. Yes, seem to be only friendly with one another. But in truth, their friendliness can be very superficial. They lack sincerity and they lack love towards one another. the backbitings and the gossip that go around the church, my dear friends, can literally destroy the church. One day, my wife and I had this experience. We traveled to a certain city to visit a church. That early that morning, we were preparing to go to church. It was very early in the morning, and we received a phone call and in our hotel room. And the phone call came from a lady member of this church. Now, we never knew this lady before. We've never met her, never knew her, and she identified herself, and she said she was from that church. And the next thing that happened was that she rattled off on and on and on and on. She rattled on and on and on. What was she talking about? She was talking bad about other people in the church. You know, we never knew her before, but when we spoke to her over the phone, she just talked bad about other people in the church. She must have heard about our coming to visit the church. And so she called me and then talked bad about other people in the church. Yes. Now, would you be surprised that there would be serious problems in the church with such a member? My dear friends, not surprising at all. Yes, in fact, this church was filled with backbitings and gossips. Now, are we guilty of them? Backbitings and gossips. Now, what do we talk about when we talk about our fellow members in the church? What do we talk about when we talk about them? Do we talk about ways of helping them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, we need to gird ourselves with the girdle of truth. In other words, always speaking truth with love to one another. That is what we must be doing. Gird ourselves with the girdle of truth. Now, we also need to gird ourselves with the girdle of truth, not only for living, but as well as for dying. Not only for living, but as well as for dying. Girded with the truth, we will then have no fear of death. For we know that with Jesus, the truth in our hearts, He's the truth. With Him in our hearts, we will be ready to meet the Maker. So with the girdle of truth on, with Jesus in our hearts, the truth, we will be ready to meet the Maker, and we will have no fear of death. I remember one time going to the hospital to visit a dying brother. He had just a few days left to live. In fact, he was the man who wrote this track called Thank God for Cancer, Mr. Law Yok Min. My wife and I went to visit him, and we knew that those were the last few days of his life. And we were very, very heavy-hearted when we went to the hospital. We felt very, very sad. And when we entered into his room, there he was lying on the bed with the oxygen mask over his nose, and he was very, very weak. And my wife and I actually didn't know what to talk to him because he was so weak he could hardly speak. His wife was there, and we were there for a short while, and then after that, we decided that it was time for us to leave. So we prayed with him. We prayed that the Lord would bless him and to cheer him up, to strengthen him, to grant him joy and peace and so forth. I think that must have been the prayer we prayed. Then when we finished, I said to him, Mr. Law, the Lord bless you, the Lord be with you. And then he struggled very, very hard. And then he sat up and then he raised up his hands and in a very, very weak voice he said to us, the Lord bless all of you. Can you imagine that? He was so weak and he said, the Lord bless all of you. Now, we went there to comfort him, to try to comfort him. But we came away very, very comforted by this man who was dying. Now, why was he able to comfort us in that manner? He was dying, my dear friends. The reason was he had the girdle of truth on him. He knew that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. That is why he was able to, instead of waiting for us to cheer him, able to cheer us up. So in conclusion, let us recapitulate what I said this morning. What is truth? Jesus is truth, and his word is truth. So if you ask what is truth, just remember this. Jesus is truth, his word is truth. And we are to gird ourselves firmly with the girdle of truth. The girdle must be firmly on us. And what can loosen this girdle? Unbelief and compromise of our belief in the one true living God. Remember, unbelief caused our first parents to fall. And unbelief caused the children of Israel to miss out on the blessings which the Lord had in store for them. And my dear friends, if we are filled with unbelief, if the girdle of truth is not on us, my dear friends, we are going to miss out on the great blessings which the Lord has in store for us. Then if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, you actually don't even have the girdle of truth on you, let alone a loose girdle. My dear friends, if you do not have the girdle of truth on you, realize the terrible, desperate situation you are in. The Word of God says you are condemned already. Condemned already if you do not have this girdle of truth on. So why don't you come this morning if you do not have this girdle of truth on? Ask the Lord to put this girdle of truth on you. Come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you have it on you, my dear friends, you will have everlasting life. Now we can also loosen our girdle of truth by compromising our belief in the one true living God. The pertinent questions for us to answer are these. What kind of relationships do we have that might be compromising our belief in the one true living God? And remember, compromising our belief in the one true living God, compromising our belief in His Word, will loosen our girdle of truth, and we will be very ineffective for the Lord. We'll lose our testimony, we'll lose our witness. Remember what the Lord says, be holy, because I'm holy. So let's not compromise our belief in the one true living God. Then examine the gospel that we believe in. Is it the truth? Is it the one that is based on the Word of God, or is it one that is based on human ideas? We must be girded with the truth. The gospel we believe in must be absolutely true. The one that is true is the one that is based on the Word of God. And finally, we need to have the girdle of truth so that we will be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we must have the girdle of truth on so that we may be able to relate with brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the truth. And then my final question to all of us is, do we have this girdle of truth on us so firmly that we are very prepared to meet our Maker, should our Maker were to call us home today? And so for all of us here, if you haven't had the girdle of truth put on you yet, today come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then you will have this girdle of truth put on you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of life. Teach us, O Lord, to love you and to serve you well. We thank you, O Lord God, for this armor of God that you have offered to us for us to put on. Help us, O Lord, that we may indeed put on the breastplate of righteousness that is so readily available to us, and also to put on this girdle of truth. Enable us to ensure that this girdle of truth is firmly put on us, and that the truth, the girdle that we put on, is a perfectly good girdle. Lord, we pray that you will help us, that we may put on this girdle of truth, so that, Lord, we will be effective witnesses for you. Father, we pray for those who are still outside you, who do not have this girdle of truth on them yet. We pray that you speak to them, cause them to come and believe in you, so that they may have this girdle of truth on them also. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.